Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Susan Shand and Brian Lynn. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, a group of non-governmental organizations has criticized a Cambodian government working group set up to monitor and control online news. A statement signed by 117 NGOs condemns the creation of the group. It was formed through a procus, a declaration issued by a government minister. The working group was formed by Cambodia's Ministries of Information, Interior, and Post and Telecommunications. A government announcement last week said the working group is aimed at controlling all dissemination of information found to threaten the defense and security of the nation. It would also seek to block information considered a threat to relations with other countries, the economy, or public order, or that discriminates against the country's customs and traditions. The government declaration gives the ministries the power to take action against people violating the rules. It also permits the government to act against internet service providers. The Ministry of Posts and Telecommunications will require all internet service providers to use software and other tools to monitor internet usage, the announcement said. The software should be able to filter or block any websites, accounts, or social media pages considered illegal. The statement by the NGOs criticizes the declaration, which it says threatens the privacy rights and freedom of expression of every single internet and social media user in Cambodia. Among those signing the letter were the rights group Lakato and the election watchdog Committee for Free and Fair Elections in Cambodia. The NGOs dismissed the declaration's list of illegal content. They called the working group a clear case of government overreach and censorship. The NGOs noted that the blocking of content and closure of social media accounts is to be completely decided by the ministries without judicial review or the right to appeal. The ministerial order represents a serious threat to the Cambodian people's constitutional rights, the NGO's statement said. It added that the working group further reduces the limited space left for public debate following months of attacks on media freedoms. The creation of the working group comes ahead of Cambodia's planned general election next month. Rights groups have raised concerns about the fairness of the election process because of a series of actions by the government of Prime Minister Hun Sen. Among the actions was a government ban on the country's main opposition party. Cambodian officials accused the party of attempting to overthrow the government. Political observers and rights groups have said they believe the action was taken in an effort by Hun Sen's government to stay in power. The government has also attempted to silence critical voices within the country's NGO community and has closed some media organizations. Earlier this year, Cambodia's main media watchdog group said media freedoms suffered severe damage in 2017. A report by the Cambodian Center for Independent Media noted the closures of 32 radio stations that produced broadcasts often critical of the government. It said other media organizations were also forced to suspend operations because the government launched tax investigations.
An accident, a disease, or other health problems leave more than 15 million people a year paralyzed. They have lost control of their legs and are unable to walk. But new technology, along with physical exercise, could help some of them walk again. Among the most promising developments is the use of robotic exoskeletons, like ones made by ExoBionics. The exoskeleton is worn on the user's back and around the stomach. Robotic legs with feet extend from both sides of the device and go around the user's leg. A video game-style controller connects to the device. Lindsay Stofen is working to recover from a rare disorder that has forced her to use a wheelchair since last October. She now does physical therapy with the exoskeleton for an hour a day. The 17-year-old former athlete is a patient at the Marion Joy Rehabilitation Hospital in Chicago, Illinois. She climbed into a specially designed exoskeleton for the first time in late April. Lauren Bularczyk, Lindsay's physical therapist, says the robotic exoskeletons help to speed up the recovery process. For someone who takes a lot of energy to only walk a few feet, exo can get them up, can get them moving, Bularczyk said. Besides speeding up recovery times, these robotic skeletons are especially helpful for those suffering from paralysis, from spinal cord injuries, or strokes. Using the machine can help some patients rewire their brains to use secondary muscles so they can eventually walk again without the device. I'm Susan Shand.
Some manufacturers of electronic cigarettes are offering financial aid to students who write about the possible benefits of using their products. The financial aid, worth $250 to $5,000, can be used at colleges or universities in the United States. These scholarships are advertised on the internet by e-cigarette makers and e-cigarette review websites, the Associated Press reported. Most of the scholarships are offered as part of a competition. Students are asked to write papers on how e-cigarettes can be safer than smoking traditional cigarettes. At least one company asks students to write about different kinds of e-cigarettes and suggest ones they like best. Some seek papers in support of medical marijuana. Some companies have used the scholarships as a way to get their names listed on websites of schools like Harvard University and the University of California, Berkeley. E-cigarettes have been growing in popularity in the United States since 2010. The devices are never lit. They instead use power from a battery. They produce a vapor caused by heating liquid. Users breathe the gas into their lungs. The liquid usually contains nicotine, a chemical found in tobacco products and traditional cigarettes. Nicotine is known to be highly addictive, so users can develop a dependency on the drug. Most e-cigarettes also contain other chemicals for taste. Many medical experts agree that using an e-cigarette, known as vaping, is safer than smoking a cigarette. Supporters have also suggested that e-cigarettes can help smokers of traditional cigarettes cut back or even stop smoking. But little is yet known about the long-term health effects of using e-cigarettes. Robert Pagano is owner of the review site Vapor Vanity. He told the AP his company was offering scholarships of up to $1,500 this year. He admitted the financial aid is partly used as a marketing tool. But he also said that many people in the industry are former smokers who want to help young people avoid tobacco. It's a little bit of being genuine, a little bit of self-interest, said Pagano, whose company does not sell e-cigarette products. He added that scholarships are one of the best ways of getting students to think about the issues they are asked to write about. Most companies behind the writing contests did not react to requests from the AP for comment. But the American Vaping Association defended the scholarships. It said they provide a way for companies to publicize their name while also offering students financial help. Gregory Connolly is the head of the association. He compared the scholarships to similar programs that have long been offered by manufacturers of alcohol products, such as Anheuser-Busch. That company gives tens of thousands of dollars each year to minority students. Some anti-tobacco groups said they did not know about the scholarships until asked about them by the AP. They are sharply critical of efforts to get students to write in favor of vaping. They're trying to use youth as their marketing surrogates, said Greg Hafley, who is with the American Cancer Society. He added that although some companies describe the programs as helpful to students, he believes it is all a marketing effort to get new users. E-cigarette manufacturers often say their products are meant only for adults who are trying to stop smoking. Some of the writing contests state that they are not meant to promote vaping. But anti-tobacco groups say there is no other reason the companies would be reaching out to young people. Robin Koval is president of the Truth Initiative, a nonprofit group opposed to the tobacco and vaping industries. She says most of the students getting involved are not smokers who are trying to stop. What they're saying and what they're doing does not seem to agree here, but that's not surprising, Koval said. The AP reports it is unclear how many scholarships have actually been awarded. Several websites promise to publicize winners of their contests, but none have appeared to do so. None of the 15 companies contacted by the AP would name the winners. Harvard and California State University at Long Beach removed e-cigarette-related scholarship listings after being asked about them by the AP. They explained that the listings should not have been posted. I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. There were many changes in the social customs and day-to-day life of millions of Americans during the administration of President Calvin Coolidge. Many young people began to challenge the traditions of their parents and grandparents. They experimented with new ideas and ways of living. People of all kinds became interested in the new popular culture. Radio and films brought them exciting news of court trials, sports heroes, and wild parties. The 1920s also was one of the most active and important periods for the more serious arts. Writers, painters, and other artists produced some of the greatest work in the nation's history. Kay Gallant and Harry Monroe take a look at American arts during this exciting period.
Most Americans approved strongly of the economic growth and improved living conditions during the 1920s. They supported the conservative Republican policies of President Calvin Coolidge, and they had great faith in the country's business leaders and economic system. However, many of the nation's serious artists had a different and darker view of society. They were troubled deeply by the changes they saw. They believed that Americans had become too interested in money and wealth. These artists rejected the new business society. And they also questioned the value of politics. Many of them believed that the First World War in Europe had been a terrible mistake. These artists had little faith in the political leaders who came to power after the war. They felt a need to protest the way the world was changing around them.
The spirit of protest was especially strong in serious American writing during the 1920s. Many of the greatest writers of this period hated the new business culture. One such writer was Sinclair Lewis. He was the first American to win the Nobel Prize for Literature. Lewis wrote about Americans living in the towns and villages in the central part of the United States. Many of the people in his books were foolish men and women with empty values. They chased after money and popularity. In his famous book, Main Street, Lewis joked about and criticized small-town business owners. Social criticism also was central to the writing of the newspaper writer H.L. Mencken from the eastern city of Baltimore. Mencken considered most Americans to be stupid and violent fools. He attacked their values without mercy. Of course, many traditional Americans reacted strongly to such criticism. For example, some religious and business leaders attacked Mencken as a dangerous person whose words were treason against the United States. But many young people thought Mencken was a hero whose only crime was writing the truth.
The work of Lewis, Mencken, and a number of other writers of the 1920s has been forgotten by many Americans as the years have passed. But the period did produce some truly great writing. One of the greatest writers of these years was Ernest Hemingway. Hemingway wrote about love, war, sports, and other subjects. He used short sentences and rough words. His style was sharper and different from traditional American writing, and his strong views about life set him apart from most other Americans. Another major writer was F. Scott Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald wrote especially about rich Americans searching for happiness and new values. His books were filled with people who rejected traditional beliefs. His book, The Great Gatsby, is considered today to be one of the greatest works in the history of American writing. A third great writer of the 1920s was William Faulkner. Faulkner wrote about the special problems and ways of life in the American South. His books explored the emotional tension in a society still suffering from the loss of the Civil War 60 years before. Some of Faulkner's best books were The Sound and the Fury, As I Lay Dying, and Absalom, Absalom. Like Hemingway, he won the Nobel Prize for Literature.
The 1920s also produced the greatest writer of theater plays in American history, Eugene O'Neill. O'Neill was an Irish-American with a dark and violent view of human nature. His plays used new theatrical methods and ways of presenting ideas, but they carried an emotional power never before seen in the American theater. Some of his best-known plays were Morning Becomes Electra, The Iceman Cometh, and A Long Day's Journey into Night. A number of American writers also produced great poetry during the 1920s. Probably the most famous work was The Wasteland, a poem of sadness by the writer T.S. Eliot.
There also were important changes in American painting during the 1920s. Economic growth gave many Americans the money to buy art for their homes for the first time. 60 new museums opened. Slowly, Americans learned about serious art. Actually, American art had been changing in important ways since the beginning of the century. In 1908, a group of New York artists arranged a historic show. These artists tried to show real life in their paintings. They painted new kinds of subjects. For example, George Bellows painted many emotional and realistic pictures of the sport of boxing. His work and the painting of other realistic artists became known as the Ashcan School of Art. Another important group of modern artists was led by the great photographer Alfred Stieglitz. This group held a major art show in 1913 in New York, Chicago, and Boston. The show presented modern art from Europe. Americans got their first chance to see the work of such painters as Pablo Picasso and Georges Braque. The show caused a huge public debate in the United States. Traditional art critics accused the organizers of the show of trying to overthrow Christianity and American values. Former President Theodore Roosevelt and others denounced the new art as a threat to the country. However, many young American painters and art lovers did not agree. They became very interested in the new art styles from Europe. They studied them closely. Soon, Charles DeMuth, Joseph Stella, and other American painters began to produce excellent art in the new Cubist style. John Marin painted beautiful views of sea coasts in New York and Maine, and such artists as Max Weber and Georgia O'Keeffe painted in styles that seemed to come more from their own imagination than from reality. As with writing, the work of many of these serious modern painters only became popular many years later.
The greatest American designer of buildings during the 1920s was Frank Lloyd Wright. Wright believed that architects should design a building to fit its location, not to copy some ancient style. He used local materials in new ways. Wright invented many imaginative methods to combine useful building design with natural beauty. But again, most Americans did not know of Wright's work. Instead, they turned to local architects with traditional beliefs. These architects generally designed old and safe styles for buildings, for homes, offices, colleges, and other needs.
Writers and artists now look back at the roaring 1920s as an extremely important period that gave birth to many new styles and ideas. Hemingway's style of writing continues to influence American writers. Many painters say the period marked the real birth of modern American art. And architecture students in the United States and other countries now study the buildings of Frank Lloyd Wright. The changes in American society caused many of these artists much sadness and pain in their personal lives. But their expression of protest and rich imagination produced a body of work that has grown in influence with the passing years.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.